Hello there, and welcome to the Illinois Radio Reader. My name is Cedric Richardson, and in this half hour, I'll be bringing you the Vermilion County News with a concentration on Danville and surrounding areas. In our first article, the ground has been broken on the Danville Marriott. Construction begins this week in Danville on a new 80-unit Town Place Suites by Marriott, an extended stay hotel that will serve a niche market, according to the property owners and local officials. It does fill a very unique need here, said Vicki Hagen, the president of Vermilion Advantage, the local economic development office. So we are very excited about this. It's been in the planning stages for about a year and a half, so it's a great day to finally reach the groundbreaking here. P.B. Patel with Sunrise Hospitality, the Patel family's company that will own and operate the new property, said just prior to Monday's groundbreaking ceremony that the building will take up about 50,000 square feet with studio units as well as one and two bedroom units, all with kitchenettes. It will be very contemporary, he said. The facility should be ready to open in 12 to 14 months, said Patel. It will be adjacent to two other Sunrise properties, the Holiday Inn Express and Hampton Inn and Suites, in the Eastgate area on Lynch Road. This is on Danville's southeast edge near Interstate 74. Hagen said there's demand in the Danville area market from businesses for long-term stay facilities for contract workers, professionals, employees, and clients looking to stay a week, 3 months, or more. In other local news, a student worker and basketball player is now a trustee. She's a Danville Area Community College student worker, Phi Theta Kappa member, and former starting forward on the Lady Jaguars basketball team. Now, Sadie Edwards is ready to step into her newest role, student trustee. The 20-year-old Oakwood woman ran unopposed for the seat in April 11th through 12th election. She will be seated today to serve a one-year term. I really like being involved, said Edwards. Edwards is the daughter of Shelley and Craig Edwards. After graduating from Oakwood High School in 2015, she enrolled at DACC because she wasn't ready to move away, and she liked that she could get a quality education at a reasonable price close to home. She'll receive an associate's degree in business administration in May, but she's sticking around another year under DACC's 3+1 program with Franklin University. Under that program, she'll continue taking classes at DACC next year, take online classes through Franklin the following year, and earn a bachelor's degree from that school. Her dream job? A college athletic director. Edwards said she was encouraged to run by Dave Keitzman, the Vice President of Instruction and Student Services, and a DACC basketball superfan. He comes to all of the home games. When he told me I should look into running, I thought this was another way I could be involved, said Edwards, who also works part-time in the assessment center. And speaking of fresh faces, a fresh face on board is no stranger to DACC. One of the new faces on the Danville Area Community College Board is no stranger to the college. Terry Hill received an associate degree from DACC, then Danville Junior College, in 1970. 2 years later, the Oakwood Grade School PE teacher was recruited by DACC founder and then-retired president, Mary Miller, to serve as an adjunct instructor and run the track and cross-country programs, which he did until 2002. Hill, who retired as Danville High School's athletic director in 2007, didn't consider running for the DACC board until he was approached by board chairman Dave Harvey. He, Harvey, and trustee John Spezia won the 3 open seats on April 4th and will be seated at the board's reorganizational meeting today. "It's a way to pay DACC back for what it gave me," said Hill, who will serve a 6-year term. "I know all of the board members. They're all on the same page and cognizant of what it takes to make DACC an even better place. And I look forward to working with them. I've also worked in some fashion with the 6 previous presidents, so I'm also looking forward to working with current president Stephen Nako." African singers and dancers bring energy to a show. The costumes are eye-catching and the talent is amazing, but the children's smile are the real stars of the show. 19 members of the African Children's Choir will bring their enthusiasm and talent to Danville on May 3rd. The children will sing and dance during a performance at 7 p.m. at First Church of the Nazarene. "The children are extremely energetic and smiling," said Tina Sipp, choir manager who is traveling with the group on its United States tour. There's also a group touring the United Kingdom. "The music and dancing are delightful and the drumming is incredible. But what the people enjoy most are their smiles. It's inspiring." The African Children's Choir has been to Danville in the past. Its most recent performance was in 2013. Sarah Chamberlain, associate pastor at First Church of the Nazarene, said the choir has performed 3 or 4 times during her 9-year tenure and several times before that. "The choir is fantastic," she said. "I guarantee anyone who comes will not be disappointed." The children exude joy despite coming from an impoverished area and are sweet and polite. "We enjoy having them here," she added. The children range in age from 7 to 10 years and all are from Uganda. Free will donations go to support 35 education programs in 7 African countries, helping several thousand children. The African Children's Choir is a nonprofit humanitarian and relief organization dedicated to helping Africa's most vulnerable children today so they can help Africa tomorrow. The children have 3 traditional African costumes that they change into throughout the show. They will sing ethnic worship music, a cappella to African drums, and contemporary Christian and old-time gospel favorites such as "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands" and "This Little Light of Mine." The performance also will feature a 15-piece drum ensemble and traditional African dances. Sip noted that Africa has had a lot of challenges that get the most publicity and people get an unbalanced view. However, the Danville performance doesn't focus on the sad stories, and instead, it stresses the children's potential. "We're very diligent in wanting to highlight their potential. They have much to contribute," said Sip. "They are beautiful and they are talented, and they deserve the chance to get an education." She added, "They're great ambassadors for Africa." The children have to audition for the choir. The next step is a weekend camp, and then the group is narrowed down. The children are chosen for their talent and also for their need. "It's not just based on talent," Sip said. "We're looking for families where we can make the most impact." The children arrived in the United States about 3 weeks ago. Before leaving Africa, they spent 4 or 5 months of training in rehearsals and preparation for travel. All are learning English, and the trip is making them more proficient. "They're loving it," she said. While traveling by bus through North Carolina, they'll visit 130 to 140 cities in the U.S. and Canada on their 8-month tour. They give 4 shows a week. Each church on their itinerary will provide 7 host families for the children and the 7 chaperones for 2 to 3 nights. 3 of the chaperones from Uganda and Kenya are former members of the choir. Sip, who lives in Spokane, Washington, has been to Uganda and Rwanda 5 or 6 times and toured as a chaperone in 2003 and 2004. Music for Life, the parent organization for the African Children's Choir, has educated more than 52,000 children and impacted the lives of more than 100,000 people through its relief and development programs during its history. This is the only chance these kids get to have an education. We work with the most impoverished families. Donations are taken at the show, she said, adding that even a small gift can make a tremendous difference. It can change the life of a child 180 degrees. We're investing in the life of a child, she said. We're presenting an opportunity to impact a life. Almost 30 years ago, Ray Barnell of Vancouver, British Columbia, was on a humanitarian trip to war-torn Uganda when he gave a small boy a ride from his decimated home to the safety of another village. During the journey, the child did what he knew how best to do. He sang. That simple song of dignity and hope became the catalyst for a program that has changed the lives of thousands of children and reshaped the future of Africa. From these humble beginnings grew the African Children's Choir. The first choir brought the voices of 31 children to the Western world. They inspired audiences with their stories and raised enough funds to open the organization's first children's home. The success and instant popularity of that first tour encouraged Barnett to continue on his mission, and as the children got older, the program added a sponsorship arm to help meet the educational needs of these children through the secondary school, and in most cases, on to higher education. FYI, the African Children's Choir will perform at 7 p.m. Wednesday, May 3rd, at Danville First Church of the Nazarene, 2212 North Vermilion Street. There is no charge, but donations will be taken. A program stresses financial independence. If your financial plan is to marry a rich man or woman, think again. The free program, A Man Is Not a Financial Plan, will be presented Monday night in the United Way of Danville Area Incorporated, located at 28 West North Street, Suite 102, as part of Money Smart Week. Dinner will be served from 4 to 6 p.m., with back massages provided by Boland Chiropractic. The program will be from 6 to 8 p.m. The topic was the brainchild of Sherry Askren, United Way of Danville Area President, who had seen that phrase used on financial planning websites. It's also the title of a book aimed specifically at women. Men are invited to the workshop. Askren said, "It's imperative you learn to handle your money and feel better when the storms come into your life. When you enter a relationship, you must be comfortable with yourself and have a mutual respect for each other," she said. Money issues spell trouble for many relationships. Sometimes when a spouse dies, the surviving spouse has no idea what to do financially. "We want everyone, men and women, to gain financial independence," she said, "so they can have healthy relationships." The program is sponsored by the United Way of Danville Area, University of Illinois Extension, Raymond James, Iroquois Federal, and Boland Chiropractic. Reserve a space at moneysmartweek.org. Man is not a financial plan. Seating is limited with 20 spaces available. And in other news, this has to be said. Show respect to funeral processions. Good morning. This last week, I had the honor of accompanying a loved one to the final resting place. I love to see the long line of cars in a funeral procession. It is such a great tribute to a person's life. They give me chills to realize how many lives the deceased obviously impacted throughout their time on this earth. It has interested me the last few years about what responsibilities does a driver have when they come upon an approaching funeral procession. On this particular day, not one car passing us on the opposite side of the road slowed down or pulled over in respect of the deceased. The procession I was in was right about lunch hour, so I thought maybe they were too busy. Maybe they were already running late to get back to the office or to an appointment, or stopping would have added too much to their time. To me, stopping for a funeral procession is acknowledging a life has been lost, acknowledging that there are people in this procession whose lives will never be the same and who are grieving deeply. Here are a few funeral procession rules I found. 1. The operator of a vehicle proceeding in the opposite direction as a funeral procession may yield to the procession. If the operator chooses to yield to the procession, the operator must do so by reducing speed or by stopping completely off of the roadway while the procession passes, so that operators of other vehicles proceeding in the opposite direction of the procession can continue to travel without leaving their lane of traffic. The operator of a vehicle proceeding in the same direction as a funeral procession shall not pass or attempt to pass the funeral procession, except that the operator of such a vehicle may pass a funeral procession when the highway has been marked for two or more lanes of moving traffic in the same direction of the funeral procession. 3. The operator of the lead vehicle in a funeral procession shall comply with all traffic control signals, but when the lead vehicle in a funeral procession has progressed across an intersection in accordance with the traffic control signal, all vehicles in the funeral procession may proceed through the intersection without stopping. Etiquette for funeral processions has changed over the years, so it is really up to you. Please keep your own safety in mind, though. If traffic is heavy and an accident can happen from stopping, move on and say a prayer for the members later. Give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sherry M. Askren is president of United Way of Danville Area, Incorporated, 28 West North Street in Danville, Illinois, 61832. An event to recognize show choirs and teachers. 4 District 118 faculty members will be honored this week during an evening of song and dance. The Danville Public School Foundation will sponsor the 10th annual An Evening of Singing and Dancing, and the presentation of the Dr. David L. Fields Outstanding Teacher Awards, which starts at 7 p.m. Friday in Dick Van Dyke Auditorium at Danville High School. Tickets are on sale. The event celebrates excellence in teaching and spotlights the musical talent of the DHS show choirs, as well as the Northridge Middle School and Southview Upper Elementary School show choirs. Performing will be DHS's contemporaries, delegation, and the new all-male group, The Executives, all directed by Mark Mercer, as well as the Northridge Radiant Reds and Redcoats and Southview's Green Machine, all directed by Jennifer and David Woodrow. The District 118 show choirs have been perennial winners in competitions around the Midwest for many years. Vocal quality, originality, and choreography are the hallmarks of all 6 groups. It's probably the last time during the school year that the show choirs will perform, said Bob Richard, the executive director of the Danville Public School Foundation. The Green Machine will be a great addition to the event. Mayor Scott Eisenhower will be the master of ceremonies that night. All proceeds from the event will go to the Danville Public School Foundation to help support the foundation's mission of providing enhanced educational opportunities for the 6,000 students attending District 118 schools. The event will honor 4 faculty members with an award named after former Superintendent Fields, who served District 118 for 41 years before retiring in 2001. The awards were started by the foundation in honor of Dr. Fields after his retirement to recognize excellence in teaching. Principals at each of the schools nominate a teacher. A committee reviews the nominations based on student success, collaboration, continuous learning, and leadership, and selects a winner from the high school one of the middle schools, and one or two elementary schools. The foundation takes responsibility for the selection of the recipients, said Richard. The winning faculty members each receive a $500 personal honorarium from the foundation, a framed certificate, and an additional $500 stipend from District 118 to be used for classroom instruction and supplies. Each award recipient will receive $500 in cash in addition to what the district provides. The Danville Educational Association also gives each winning staff member a gold star paperweight with his or her name engraved on it. The faculty members who will receive the 2017 David L. Feeds Outstanding Teacher Awards are Rachel Weber, cross-categorical teacher at Meade Park Elementary School, Kristen Hall, the pre-kindergarten teacher at Southwest Elementary School, Barbara York, a 7th grade English teacher at Northridge Middle School, and Jennifer White, a special education teacher at Danville High School. Four tickets. Tickets are $5 for the 10th annual An Evening of Singing and Dancing and the presentation of the Dr. David L. Fields Outstanding Teacher Awards, which starts at 7 p.m. Friday, April 28th, in the Dick Van Dyke Auditorium at Danville High School. Tickets may be purchased in advance at any of the Danville McDonald's locations or at Newhoff Broadcasting at 1501 North Washington Street. Tickets also may be purchased at the door on the night of the event. And now I bring you some of the obituaries for the Danville area. Betty Brown. Betty Brown, 86, of Hoopston, died Sunday, April 23rd, 2017, at Heritage Health in Hoopston. Funeral services will be at noon Thursday at Blurton Funeral Home, located at 309 East Washington Street in Hoopston. Pastor Steve Unger will officiate. Burial will be at Floral Hill Cemetery in Hoopston. Visitation will be from 10 a.m. to noon Thursday at the funeral home. Betty Burmeister. Betty Burmeister, 74, of Westville, died Saturday, April 22nd, 2017, at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Funeral arrangements were incomplete at Pape Family Funeral Home, 10 East William Street in Danville. Autumn Merrill. Autumn Ann Merrill of Danville died at 5:11 p.m. Thursday, April 20th, 2017, at Presence United Samaritans Medical Center in Danville. Funeral services will be at 2 p.m. Thursday at Sunset Funeral Home and Cremation Center, located at 3940 North Vermilion Street in Danville. Charlie Strange will officiate, and the burial will be in Sunset Memorial Park. Visitation will be from 1 to 2 p.m. Thursday at the funeral home. Lorraine Wilson. Lorraine Olson Wilson, 94, of Houston, passed away at 12:25 a.m. Saturday, April 22nd, 2017, at Heritage Healthcare in Houston. A celebration of Lorraine Wilson's life will be held at 11 a.m. Wednesday, April 26th, at Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston, with Pastor Steve Unger officiating. Visitation will be held from 4 to 7 p.m. Tuesday, April 25th, 2017, at Blurton Funeral Home in Hoopston. Memorials may be made to Heritage Healthcare. The family has entrusted the Blurton Funeral Home to assist them in honoring Lorraine's life. Memorials or photos may be shared with the family on her Everlasting page at BlurtonFuneralHomes.com. And a small note here, George H.W. Bush, the former president, is in the hospital. A spokesman for former President George H.W. Bush says the nation's 41st president will remain in a hospital, a Houston hospital, for a few more days of observation while he recovers from a mild case of pneumonia. Family spokesman Jim McGrath said Monday that the medical team at Houston Methodist Hospital hopes to discharge the 92-year-old Bush by the end of the week. McGrath says Bush continues to be in good spirits and is resting comfortably at the hospital. Friends and family mourn the ex-NFL star at the funeral. Aaron Hernandez's family and friends bid farewell to the former NFL star at a private funeral on Monday, and a judge ordered that three suicide notes he left be turned over to his fiancée by the time he is buried. Dozens of mourners turned out for the invitation-only service in Hernandez's hometown of Bristol, including his mother and fiancée, several of his defense attorneys, and friends from his playing days with the University of Florida and the New England Patriots. Hernandez, who was serving a life sentence for a 2013 murder, hanged himself in his cell in a maximum security prison in Massachusetts on April 19th. Only days earlier, he had been acquitted of murder charges in the shooting deaths of two men in Boston in 2012. And our final story, police are cracking down on distracted drivers. It is National Distracted Driving Awareness Month, and Danville police are conducting special patrols this week to identify distracted drivers. Public Safety Director Larry Thomason says distracted drivers, particularly the use of cellular devices that are not hands-free and texting while driving, are recognized as major contributors to people being injured or killed in accidents. We have reviewed numbers related to distracted driving, observed an increased use of non-hands-free cell phones being used, and drivers actually texting or reading emails while moving in traffic. This type of activity, not only being in violation of state law, greatly puts at risk those motorists who abide by the rules of the road and remain focused on the traffic and roadway. Everyone's intent should be to arrive at their destination safely. According to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, 3,477 people were killed and an estimated 391,000 injured in motor vehicle crashes involving distracted drivers in 2015. That is a 9% increase in fatalities as compared to the previous year. 10% of fatal crashes, 15% of injury crashes, and 14% of all police-reported motor vehicle crashes in 2015 were reported as distraction-affected crashes. Texting while driving has become an especially problematic trend among millennials. Young drivers 16 to 24 years old have been observed using handheld electronic devices while driving at higher rates than older drivers since 2007. So definitely pay attention while you're behind the wheel. Well, with that, thank you very much for joining me here on this half hour of the Illinois Radio Reader. Again, my name is Cedric Richardson, and it's been a real pleasure to read with you. Until next time, I bid you farewell, and I hope you enjoy your day. Bye-bye.